In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and with me is my own personal Yoda. My own personal Yoda. I sang the part for you. The one, the only.
Whoa. Good God. Star Wars summer. Wrapping it up. Travis Ratz here.
All right.
You did jump in on my own personal penguin.
I did my own personal Yoda.
My own personal.
I want to be your personal Yoda.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast, where Travis Ratz and I dive deep into graphic novels and trades. You, my friends, are listening to the wrap-up of Star Wars summer. It is August. It is still hot. We are putting the finishing touches on summer. Travis is going back to work. I am back to work from a summer of education and no students. And we are now wrapping up Star Wars. This summer, we read plenty of Star Wars comic books, had lots of conversations, the good, the bad, the interesting. We've read it all this summer. And today we are going to put a bow on it, Travis. So, Travis, I ask you, as we exit Star Wars summer, what are you most happy about in our Star Wars summer? And what are you most, not unhappy, but what's the thing that you enjoyed the most? What's the thing that you're like, oh, man, Star Wars summer, bleh. What are those things for you?
Well, I would say for me, Star Wars summer has been, as someone who's always had Star Wars in their life, there's never been a time I haven't had Star Wars in my life. Very much most of my life being very intimidated by the extended universe of Star Wars. It felt unsurmisable to me. It was a summit that like I'm definitely not at, but it's also like something I couldn't even see from the bottom of my Star Wars knowledge. And between reading the books that we read, between reading some other things that we haven't read, between picking apart some odd bits and ends that I had discovered on my own throughout my 41 years of Star Wars, and through a ton of watching videos and reading articles on Star Wars books that we've read, I just have a greater appreciation for the immenseness of this universe, mm-hmm. the riddles of this universe, the takes on this universe, and just like anything, Star Wars, like when we talk about the Star Wars universe, it's like the way we talk about comics. There are good comics, bad comics, mediocre comics, and you could remove Star Wars from comics, put it in its universe, and realize all those rules and all those things still exist just within the Star Wars universe itself. Yeah. Shit that is like moving and like, I'm like, oh my God, I'm getting a little misty to like, oh my God, I cannot, I have no interest in this whatsoever. So I guess I feel like walking away from the summer, I feel a little bit more balanced in the Star Wars universe. I'm definitely not an expert. For sure not an expert. I can't tell you. I can't name all the droids in the Jawa vehicle in the original Star Wars 1. I don't know the name of the droid whose feet's getting burned on there. But, I know who Thrawn is. And I also know that there's so much more to Thrawn that I don't know. And I'm okay with not knowing it. I know what else is out there about Thrawn, and that goes for every character. I know a little bit more the outer rims of the Star Wars universe. How about you, Josh?
Yeah, I think for me, it comes down to this this understanding, and I think you touched on this, that Star Wars is one of those rare properties. And I think Star Trek is another one where the thirst to have more of it created something where people wrote whatever they wanted and added to the lore and built more and did more until it's this giant epic sprawling thing where there's parts of it that I don't give a rip about and parts of it that I find really interesting. And that isn't true of every property, right? On the last episode, when we were reading the Star Wars, we mentioned Lord of the Rings, right? And the Lord of the Rings isn't this thing where a media conglomerate owned it and cranked out more and more Lord of the Rings comics and novels and all of these things to build the universe bigger and bigger and bigger. So Star Wars is this interesting piece of media where it kind of had its own legs and ran because George Lucas sold the comic book rights to Marvel. So Marvel added whatever they wanted. And then it went to Dark Horse, and Dark Horse kept telling stories. And then there were video games, and those video games became part of the lore and the story. And now there's more and more television shows and things like that that have built it upon and up and up and bigger and bigger. And I think that's the interesting piece of Star Wars, is that because it's so large, you can find what you want or what you're interested in. There is a piece of Star Wars media or a story that makes you go, oh, okay, I like that. I enjoy that, right? We think of, like, you know, The Mandalorian being that sort of lone wolf and cub adventure, right? I want that. Or if you're like, you know what? I really like the Jedi. So, well, guess what? Go read some Old Republic and have Jedis flying out your eyeballs, right? Like, there's a piece of that media everywhere that will hit on something that you liked about Star Wars because it's so big. Someone has done their narrow focus story on the part of the Star Wars universe you like. I think that's a really interesting thing about Star Wars that we got to explore this summer, that I don't think you get to do with anything, with very few pieces of media have that.
You know, a great point. And you know what? What's kind of interesting, as you were talking about that, I was thinking about this, and I would say Star Wars Summer, in the length of our podcast, and I'll probably go on like 11 years or something now, is probably the series of books laid out and things that we read where we abandoned doing a podcast on more than most. Like, there were things that we read that we did not talk about.
Yeah.
So we're talking about what we liked and what we didn't like about Star Wars Summer. And I talked about what I like. I think you talked about what we got from it. One of the things that I
didn't like,
is that because of its immense size, I mean, it really does feel like almost 50-50 if you're going to open up a Star Wars comic book or something like that, whether it's going to work.
Yeah.
And so I want to ask you this. Having done that and having read some that you really like, some that you're like, okay, this is good, or that this is enjoyable, and some you're like, I can't get through this. Are you leaving Star Wars Summer feeling? I know anytime you do something, you're like, I need a break from it.
But
are you leaving this feeling like you're more a fan of the Star Wars universe, or are you feeling like, have you feel like maybe at this point, like, I might have outgrown this for a while? Like, what are your thoughts?
I think so. An interesting piece is that Andor came out in the middle of all of this. Mm-hmm. And you and I talked about, like, oh, we should watch it and do it for Star Wars Summer and talk about during Star Wars Summer. I started watching it. I'm like, I can't. I've read too much Star Wars. I need a break. I can't watch this TV show right now because I'm just so overly saturated, because not only with what we read, but then also the process of trying to find the thing to read. Because I think I agree with you. There's this part where, like, there's so much of it that some of it's just not very good, or it's not for me, because I'm not going to read something just because it's Star Wars. And I think Dark Horse made money on the idea of, well, you'll read this because it's Star Wars. right? Like, yeah. You want it. There's no movies right now. There's no TV show right now. You want Star Wars? We got you. We got the fix that you need, right? And so it doesn't matter if it's, you know, if it's like cut with bad detergent, you're gonna crave it, right? So I think for me, I leave Star Wars Summer, I think, with a better understanding of what I want in my Star Wars, or what I want to read in my Star Wars, and a better understanding of like what I don't like in my
Star Wars. Can we get into what you want, the weird thing is, the more you read and expand on your reading, the more you tend to, I think and this applies for all kinds of stories, is you throw away more than you keep, especially when it's, we're all about creating our own canon when it comes to stories.
Right.
Meaning like, I don't think either one of us has a problem jettisoning story elements that we don't like and being like, oh, that doesn't exist for me. Even though it was part of the same story where I'm going to keep this thing. Like, for example, and we read, that like 80s version or early 90s version of Darth Vader. And there were things that were in there that were good and bad, but I love the idea of this disgruntled pilot who's so jealous of Luke Skywalker. I'm like, you know what? For me, that's canon now.
Yeah.
That's canon now.
Right.
Like, give me something that you, from Star Wars Summer, that you're like, you're going to keep. You're like, I didn't know this before, but now it's part of my head canon.
I think for me, I really enjoyed the following Luke and the crew after. Those two things that, like, so the Thrawn trilogy, we read Heir to the Empire, and then we read Dark Empire.
Dark Empire.
I read all of Dark Empire. I read all three volumes of Dark Empire. And for me, that's what I really enjoyed. Like, there's a reason why those characters work, right? There's a reason why those characters are made it three great films, right? And so I really enjoyed seeing what they did afterwards. I think for me, the thing that I don't know that I need in Star Wars is to understand more about the lore, or more about where Jedi's come from, or how you make a lightsaber. And, you know, those are the things that I don't need more of, I think, you know.
Well, watching you, you really, and to a certain degree, me, I think, and I'm you feel free to disagree, we tried to be like, hey, let's check out some Old Republic stuff, some beginning of Jedi stuff, and like thousands upon thousands of years of history. But for us, I think we keep coming back to that, you know, the Skywalker family.
Yeah.
And Luke Skywalker and his becoming a hero at that part of the universe. And, you know, it's the galaxy versus the Empire.
And I think it's the universe at that time, because I think that first season of Andor is a great example, or Rogue One is a great example of like this time period in Star Wars universe, I think, is the most interesting, right? Because it is that battle of like the rebellion and the evil empire. And if we go too farther before that, we have to jettison and we have to make up what's the new evil. And is that as interesting? Or if you don't leave it, you think about the sequels that they did with Rey and all of that, to go like, I don't know, the Empire's back, man.
Yeah,
we'll just call it something different.
Let me ask you that. So you're you're a history teacher for many, many years.
Yeah.
If we look at you know, when you take history, you don't just take a history course. You take it's usually specialized, like early American history or ancient history or European history or you know, like all these different things in there. And as you're talking there, I go, that's kind of what Star Wars has become now. It's this long universal history. And like, for me, like, it's weird, but like, I'm not a huge fan of Greek mythology, you know, and I'm also not a fan of like how Jedi came to be, like taking all these people from different people to different planets. And then like the magical stuff on there. And it seems like for us, we're kind of like, you know, how like so much of like high school history is like World War II.
Yeah.
It feels like that's where like the, where the 1970s Star Wars opens up on.
It's a sweet spot of, yeah, of like Star Ray, Wars.
That's like Vietnam. Like the new Star Wars is like Vietnam. Prequels is like, you know, like the Civil War or something like that. But you're like, there's something kind of ultra human about World War II. Or, yeah, you know, like that where you're just like, oh, these new technologies and this expanding of the war across the globe, yeah, that is just captivating, you yeah know.
I think that's what I leave with, is like there's an era in Star Wars that I enjoy because it is this. I mean, look, we talked about it, the 1970s Star Wars looks the way it does because of what we had technology wise, right? And so what we could build. And so we couldn't make chic, slight, you know, like sleek and shiny technology because we didn't have the CGI or the budget to build these very these very clean things. And so the world of Star Wars was dirty and dingy and lived in. And so I think when you leave that, there's something inherently un-Star Wars about it. Right.
And ironically, it is after Vietnam when these movies come out, you know, and right, Lucas was very much a Vietnam baby, right? You yeah know, even the control panels, the visual aesthetic of it. But then when you get like to the Old Republic, it's all very shiny and curved and regal.
Roman Empire, yeah, like that piece of it. And it's just not as interesting to me. And I think that that's the piece where like Star Wars works because there's only a handful of people with lightsabers. When you go back and everybody has a lightsaber, it's not as interesting to
me. Yeah, when they pop that thing on, you're like, okay, well, everybody popped their lightsabers on.
Everybody get your lightsabers out. It's a sword fight.
Yeah.
As opposed
yeah
to like, you know, like,
it's
oh
kind of like
God
today too. If someone pulled out a sword, you're like, holy shit, this dude's got a sword. But if it's like, you know, Viking times, like another sword. Great.
Yeah. Great. Cool. So I think for me, as I leave it understanding that there's this window of Star Wars that I enjoy because you can have fun in the universe and you know who the players are. And I don't need you to explain to me this other evil baddie. Right. I've had three movies telling me the Empire is evil. The Emperor is bad. I know the Stormtroopers. I know this. I know that. I know the Rebellion. I know that piece of it. I don't need you to then go, oh, we're going back 2000 years. Here's the great big evil at this point in time. Like, OK, you know what I mean? Like, it's I don't know. It just isn't as interesting to me.
So my follow-up question then is this. We had asked this a couple of episodes ago. We said, okay, we've been reading, especially with like Heir of the Empire and Dark Empire and some of those yeah Darth Vader books, we're talking about that, what we're calling the original trilogy, New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi. Yeah. And we said, okay, if you could create a story that took place before in between those, which would you do? So that means you can choose between right before New Hope, but I mean, other than, you know, Rogue One, two, after New Hope, three, after Empire Strikes Back, or four, after Return of the Jedi. So if they called you up and they're like, Josh Buckley, okay, are you at the Arizona School District? Okay, we want to hire you to be in the writer's room.
Yeah.
Of this next Star Wars property. What in that era would you most want to write on, and what kind of story would you tell?
I think there's this piece of, there's twofold. There's part of me that like, I like the lone Jedi, right? I like that sort of like Luke is, or, you know, like
the Ronin story,
that lone Jedi story. But Luke isn't the character to give that to you, right? Because he's got too many friends, right? And yeah, you'd have to contrive a reason for him to leave his friends.
We saw him when he was young, and that you can't tell a Ronin story where you see them being all vulnerable and like prepubescent.
Right.
And shit.
So there's a part of me that would want to do
That's Mandalorian.
But I would tell you, like, Mandalorian is lone wolf and cub. And I don't even
want...
That's
right after Return of the Jedi, correct?
I think so. Yeah.
It's so hard.
and I think for me, there's this piece where I would want to do it before A New Hope. And there's part of me that would want it to, they already did, Andor. You know, that, well, Andor, but they also did Obi-Wan, right? So they did that one, but I don't want it to be Obi-Wan because we know Obi-Wan and we know, like, oh, he's really focused in on making sure Luke's okay. There's part of me that goes, I want to follow the Jedi that escaped order, whatever, right? To kill all of the Jedi. And he feels guilty that he's the only one who survived, right? And so he's on the run, but he's not really on the run because no one really knows him, right? And so he's in the outer rim. He's out on the edges of the galaxy. And he is the wandering Conan the Barbarian, but he is a Jedi. And he's lonely. He doesn't have friends. He has companions for a story, right? It's not as though, and I think there's this part of like Mandalorian where he builds this family around him. I don't want that. I want the like Yosagi Ojimbo, Conan, the wandering warrior, like showing up, kicking ass, getting drunk, moving on to the next thing, right? I want this like wandering Jedi warrior who isn't about like, look, he knows he's not going to topple the Empire. The Empire's too big. So he's going to do his part to like be a Jedi, but he's alone. And there's he feels he's alone. There's no connection. And so he's just going to plod along and clean up where he can.
I like it. I like that a lot. Can I make a suggestion? You can tell me if this is dork for you or not. You're saying that's before New Hope. Since he's on the Outer Rim and he's by himself, right?
Yeah.
He's aware of the Empire and he's kind of, you know, following his own code, which may align sometimes with the Rebellion and it may align sometimes with the Empire, you know, as far as like what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
If you set it in between Empire and Return of the Jedi, when they're really boxed in with their plots, we know that Han Solo is in carbonite, we know like some of those things on there, then you have a character who like the new hope has already happened, but your Ronin Jedi or your Ronin character is unaware of that because he's not a part of that larger system.
Yeah.
So every choice he makes, your audience knows like, no, there is hope. And then when he makes choices that like that aren't for that, it feels more like, no, if you just did that, like it would like, and you don't understand, so you know, like there's things happening here.
I think I'd feel better then to place it between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
You can't do that because that's where mine's taking place. So
but for me, I go like the hope is barely there, right?
Death Star has
been blown up. But okay. But I can live with that. This idea, like, who really, like, when you're way out on the outer rim, do you, and I think this is the interesting piece, is the Rebellion any better than the Empire in some of these places?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so,
especially in the early stages of the Rebellion, which is what getting it before New Hope would give you. And if you finish that new season of Andor, you really get a sense of like, oh man, I don't know if, because the Rebellion is so fractioned to that point, you're like,
right,
I don't know if any of this is going to work. So you might be right setting.
I don't want a united Rebellion because I don't want there to be a presence where he can go, oh, I've got to go join that.
Right? Yeah,
I want him to be out there going like, man, everything's screwed up.
He's his own faction.
Yeah, he's his own rebel. Right.
That but could possibly play a factor in to a story later on when he makes the decision like, hey, I'm going to unite my faction with these other factions. That's a good point.
I really want him like to not. I want that sort of like the there's no way to defeat the Empire by myself. So I'm going to do what I can to make this place a little better. And then I'll go to this place and make it a little better. And I don't want and to me, the beauty of Conan is that there's not a MacGuffin that's taking you to be a better person or to be whatever. The MacGuffin is story to story. So the idea of him just being the wandering Jedi who goes like, all right, I'm in this town. I'm going to take care of this.
So you, like, we were kind of walking with your stories. You really love the aesthetics and universe of Star Wars, and you kind of want to bring a different genre into the era of Star Wars. Yes. Yeah. That makes sense.
All right. Let me hear your pitch, sir.
I did have to write down a few notes because I'm not as good off top as you are. For me, I thought about those eras in between we were talking about, and I really like the era. For me, I wanted to focus on between New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Okay.
And there's a couple of reasons for this. Reason number one, we never really get enough stories in the film or even in the extended comic book universe where our three leads are on adventures together. We have them on the Death Star in New Hope. We have them a little bit together in Empire Strikes Back in Hoth, and then just a tiny bit in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
And I love those three together. And I've talked about this before during this summer series where, for me, one of the big things based on what we've read is how much I underestimated Luke Skywalker as a character. To me, as a kid, he always felt like the Cyclops of the group. Where it's just like, of course, like, yeah, it's Luke Skywalker, but like Han is so charming, whatever it is. No, Luke is like, he's my boy now. Like, that's what I've walked away with Star Wars Summer from. Mm-hmm. Two, I want to see these characters, our three main leads, Han, Solo, Leia, and Luke, struggle and fail after their big success. It's kind of like their sophomore album, you know? It's like, you know, it's like if Operation Ivy had a second album, like how do you follow up that album, right?
Yeah.
Before they break up and do like Rancid and like their own things, is like I want to see them deal with just the luck. So much of New Hope is based on luck, right? Mm-hmm. And then we get into Empire and we see, you know, they're struggling, like Luke's learning from Yoda and stuff like that, but they're very capable people. I want to see them struggle and fail. Because once Yoda comes in and trains Luke, then Luke is kind of this not like omniscient kind of warrior character and you feel safe in his hands.
Yeah.
And I also, the best Leia and Han dynamics are before they get together. That's what you don't get much of. You only get it in New Hope and, you know, and Empire. And I want to see more of that, like 1940s rom-com.
Or very like Moonlight.
His right? Girl Friday. Yeah.
Sam and Diane.
Yeah. Cheers. And plus you can even like, you have to be a little careful with it, but you can even play with that love triangle there where it's like the brother sister relationship and all that before it's known. So, my thing would be like to see them after New Hope, and some basic plots are we end a New Hope on Yavin 4, and then we start Empire on Hoth.
Yeah.
And Hoth is so barren compared to Yavin 4. Obviously, the rebellion is taking a hit. Like, how do they get to Hoth? Like, what does that come? So I wrote down a couple of possible options, things I would like to see. One, getting Han to fly with the squadron, like, because the Millennium Falcon is so, like, Millennium Falcon comes in and it's always felt separate than like the rogue squadrons, you know, and someone like Han would have a real hard time following orders in a squadron and seeing him take those risks and maneuvering it and him trying to figure out how to work as a team, not just within the three main leads, but within the rebellion itself. By the time we get to Empire, he's kind of like, yeah, I got to go take care of Jabba, but I'm Rebellion. But when we leave New Hope, he's like, yeah, he did it for a girl. So I want to see that kind of play into it. Two, I want to see the dangers of learning the Force without a master before Yoda comes in there. And I want to see severe physical stakes. I want to see someone in the Rebellion dead because Luke was training with the Force and there's unintended consequences. I'm not saying like he force choked someone accidentally, but like something where it's like, oh, I can't do this on my own. I have to find a master.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three, I want to see Leia deal with the PTSD of Alderaan blowing up, which is something we never really get to see. And I think that is a really good mix between her dealing with the post-traumatic stress of, you know, her entire civilization blowing up. And then two, being super excited with these possible budding romances. Like it's kind of like maybe if your parents die and then at the same time when you're dealing with that grief, you discover the love of your life. Like that's a very interesting,
yes.
You know, like those, like you're yeah. not your best self, but then someone who sees you at not your best self loves you for who you are in your worst grieving state. I think that's, there's a lot of emotional stock in there.
Yeah. I like yeah. those. I think for me, I think, I like that idea because those are the characters that there's a reason why they work, right? There's a reason yeah. why those characters are the thing that I enjoyed about our reading of all this is those three characters. I'm curious to go. I like the play between Han and Leia. I think that would yeah. be a really interesting story to tell their story of what happens between one and the other, right? How do they grow yeah. closer? How does that happen between them? How do they get to the moment? I love you. I know.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. how do we build to that? And what are all the things that they've been through together where it's, I like that idea of like Leia.
If you could get Leia to get past all that grief enough in Empire where when she says, I love you, and for us to understand how hard it is for her to say, after everything that's happened to her, to say the words, I love you, for fear of losing something because she's lost everything she's loved. And then Han Solo's response of, I know, but the way Harrison Ford delivers yeah. it in there. Like, I get like goosebumps thinking about like, if you could build that moment up even more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. I really like that one. And I think to me, that would be secondary. I think that that's a different story than the Luke story, right? I think it'd be hard right. to weave those three things together. I mean, a good storyteller could do that, but I think there's a really interesting piece to go like, how does Leia help Leia, who's lost everything and lost her connection to her people in her home, help Han Solo build a connection with this new community?
Because he right? doesn't have a home. Like, she lost the home she had. Han Solo's never had a home. And they're kind of going on there. Meanwhile, Luke needs a master and doesn't have a master, but they all find Hoth, right? And yeah. so that's the compromise at that moment, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
You know, and it services as a place for their love to grow. It serves as a place for Luke to get more information about this possible Jedi master.
Yeah.
And then for them to build their chosen family together.
I like it. I like it, Travis. Yeah. All right. So let's put a bow on our Star Wars summer.
Let's put a crossbow bandolier on this bad boy.
Yeah. So this summer we read many books. We read the first part of the Dark Thrawn trilogy, Heir to the Empire.
Learned a lot from about Thrawn on that.
We read Vader's Quest, a lovely 90s Vader story.
Yeah, it was interesting from the standpoint of like how were Star Wars stories told outside of the universe, you know, before yeah. prequels.
We read Vader, which is the kickoff of the new, when Marvel got Star Wars back, we read volume one of that Vader story.
Mm-hmm.
We read Dark Droids, kind of a let's just mess with the weird, let's just take the team and put them in a yeah. weird story.
Obviously interesting, but not super effective because neither of us put droids in our pitches anywhere.
No. We read Dark Empire, the what happens after Star Wars, a different take from the Thrawn.
That was an audible that we called in the middle of the summer.
Right? And I am so glad that we did because yeah. I absolutely loved that one. We read The Star Wars, which was the telling of the first draft of Star Wars movie. And we read, there's one more we did, didn't we? I swear there was one more, Travis.
No, not that we officially read on okay. the page. We were going to do Tales of the Jedi.
That's right. We both attempted some Old Republic, but couldn't do it. Yeah. Couldn't do it. And I would tell you, if I leave this, that's the one thing I wish we would have forced ourselves to read is found the old Empire story.
Yeah.
That we would have enjoyed. Cause that's the piece where you're like, oh, I just don't know it, you know?
Yeah. And honestly, I think maybe you have to play video games to get those good stories.
And that's what, like, that's one I've never played was Legends of the Old Republic, which was supposed to be a great game. They're remaking it. So I think when the remake is out, I'll probably play the remake and just be like, ah, this is why people like this. This is why people got into the Old Republic is because of that video game. So if you had to pick your number one out of all of those, Travis, what would you put your number one on?
Wow.
The one that you enjoyed the most.
The Heir to the Empire.
Heir to the Empire? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I really liked Thrawn, and I really liked that it felt a little more self-contained than Dark Empire, which you had to read a little bit more out to.
Yeah.
Although I would say maybe I like the art in Dark Empire, those very similar a little bit more. And I like the fact that we focused on kind of our original trilogy. But yeah, just if I had to just gut check instinct on there, I would say Heir of the Empire, and I believe you're a Dark Empire.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Dark Empire. And like I said, I read the whole thing. I needed to know where it went. I really enjoyed the art in Volume 1. Volume 2 continues that art. Volume 3 is a different artist, but Volume 3 is much shorter. So I was like, it's fine. I can read it because it's a shorter piece of it. I think just an interesting read. I think the one that I found the most interesting was like, oh, you can do that. I think was Dark Droids.
That was supposed to be my favorite. Yeah.
Because it was dark. It was a weird sci-fi story that just lived in Star Wars. The thing that I didn't like about it is how easily they wiped it away. Yeah. And I thought, well, that was weird. Then why set it in this era of Star Wars if we're just going to like find a way so that no one really, none of our main characters know what happened?
I think that would be a great place to mine for a Disney Plus show.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So,
as much as I love Star Wars Summer, I'm just super excited to get out of it, especially since we had that break in there for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's just kind of way it is with summer events, whether it's Age of Apocalypse, or Onslaught, or Civil War.
Yeah, it's
like, okay, but let's go check out some other stuff here, which we do have coming up.
We do,
and let's go ahead and make the call right now, Josh.
Live on the air.
We both bought grommets.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good palate cleanser for Star Wars because one, it's not sci-fi, it's not fantasy, it's not a horror story, it's not a crime story. And
I have not even cracked it. So I knew we were coming of age,
90s nostalgia dip for you and I, skate culture and punk rock. And I'm excited. I read the first issue. I haven't read past that. So I think that's a great like
question, Josh. Have you read it? You read the first issue, you said?
Read the first issue, yeah.
So we're gonna read the first volume, which is out now. Do you think there will be a Star Wars reference in grommets?
Oh man.
90s skater punk rock culture. Do you think there'll be a Star Wars? This is more for us as we're reading because we have not read the whole thing yet. If it happens, we can be like, ooh, there it is.
It makes me think that there's got to be some dumb joke about Star Wars.
There's got to be, right? It's 90s skaters. Like, there's an intersection there somewhere.
It depends on if it leans towards the does it lean towards that punk rock skater culture that gave us mall rats and, you know, that sort of geek skater, or is it the
X Games
burnout skater? That'll be the interesting of what we get with it. So I'll be really interested to talk about it and then just to talk about punk rock and skating with you, Travis. I'm stoked for a little extra conversation for that one. So, folks, tune in. Thank you for listening to Star Wars Summer. Thanks for tuning into the podcast. Remember, you can find all of our episodes on your favorite podcast app or over at comicexposure.com. We've got a link to some merch if you want to get yourself a little t-shirt. You can do that. Travis and I appreciate you tuning in and sharing the podcast. Like us, rate us, review us, all of that. Star Wars, we bid you adieu. Goodbye, Mr. Lucas, and your crazy stories. And up next, 90s nostalgia. Now, folks, we'll see you next trade.